Morning and greetings in Christ's name this morning. It's good to be here again this morning. I know there's a little bit of a slim crowd here this morning, but it's good to be here again and worshiping. I appreciated the devotional too. Thanks, Nolan, for looking after the little people. That's something that crossed through my mind as I was studying here this morning. It's been a while since that happened, and thanks for doing that. Appreciated all the thoughts there. Also, in that last song we sang about the faithfulness of God, and some words that caught my attention were strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And it goes along a bit with what I would like to talk about this morning. This time of year, we kind of have a unique perspective on life, or we take a little time here, and we're going to start. I wrote 2024. You know, we've been writing that on all our checks and invoices and whatever else for the last year, and that's going to end, and there never will be another 2024, and we look forward to 2025, a brand new chapter. For me, it's typically a time of reflection and also anticipation. We look back and we look forward. 2024 is history and cannot be changed. 2025 is a blank page, and we're responsible for the story that gets written on it. And I have to think, how is it going to read a year from now? How does it look for you if you look back to maybe 5 years, to 2019, to 2024, and you compare? What have been the milestones? What has been the progression? Has it been positive? Has it been negative? Has it been some of both? Are you fighting the same battles? Are you trending upwards or are you trending downwards? It's a good thing to just stop in life and take stock of where we're at and think about it and correct where necessary. In our monthly staff meetings at work, we've discovered and implemented the tool of reflection, and it's to inspire and encourage personal and organizational growth. We don't like to stay at a certain place all the time. We naturally like to see things grow and mature and blossom, and thinking of our families, our children, we enjoy them right where they're at, and sometimes it's hard to let them see them move on to the next stage, but that's good and that's right. When they get there, we enjoy that stage too. And we feed that growth and keep it healthy. So we reflect. We do it once a month as a team, and we've developed a shared mission and vision statement. And when we reflect on the past month, we try to hold up the reality of our efforts to the goals and aspirations of our statements and see how we did. And then we ask two questions: what went well and what could be better? We celebrate the things that went well and give them credit, but then we do the constructive criticism on the things that fell short, or the things that could be better. And we work on that and try and do it in a constructive way so they don't happen again. So we discuss it, and then we come up with an action plan to improve on what could be better. We set things in motion. We put people in place or things in motion or a plan in place to correct the failed plan that we had the previous month. A plan is a choice to live in a proactive state versus a reactive state. And the philosophy of waiting till it's broke to fix it is a reactive state to live in. The maintenance program that goes with a proactive state prevents, in many times, brokenness. The title of my message this morning is Wisdom from Above. And it's what I had to think of when I think about looking ahead. And although we can reflect on the past and adjust our plan going forward based on that, we cannot predict the future. We can plan to succeed in life by asking for wisdom for every situation we find ourselves in. That is a plan to not fail. The purpose of this message is I would like to cause us to reflect on our lives and inspire us to live each day by God's grace and wisdom to our fullest potential for His glory. That is my purpose for what I have to say here this morning. And I want to say from the outstart, I don't profess to have a lot of wisdom. It's something that, it's like Solomon, he begged for it, and we do that from time to time. But then there's a promise that he will give it if we ask for it. Let's turn to James 1, beginning in verse 5. Familiar verses here, James 1, beginning in verse 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. That was the words of Solomon. It's something we strive for, we ask for, and we open ourselves to. And we can know that it will be granted to us if we open our hearts to it. One definition of wisdom I ran across, it's a definition given by old pastor John Piper. He said, wisdom is knowing the greatest goal in any situation and the best way to achieve that goal. That is wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So let's ask ourselves a question. What should be the greatest goal of our lives? What are we here on earth for? Looking back, what did that look like? What were our pursuits? Looking forward, what are they going to be? I think our ultimate goal should be glorifying our Creator in all that we do and inspiring others to do it as well. That is why we're here. That's why God gave the verse, or God sent His Son, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He wants that relationship, just like we heard about this morning. And then we are given the Great Commission in Matthew 28, says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is what we're here for. And as we look back on 2024 and the previous years, in that regard, what went well and what could be better? What are we doing to the best of our abilities? And or are we in any way hindering that goal? We can know if we have true wisdom or not. There is, God has given a tremendous amount of scripture, and I've only picked out just a few here. It was actually hard to pick out the ones that, there's so many of them that could relate, you hardly know where to start and stop. But I would like to look at the characteristics of a wise man and a foolish man. And this is just from some of the studies that I've done, and I looked at quite a scope of different authors and things, and a lot of them came to the same place, and this is kind of just what I found in it. So we'll look at a wise person first. Typically, a wise person, when truth and light come to them, they adjust themselves to match the truth. They change whatever needs to be changed to match the reality that they're living in. They encourage feedback and happily accept it and change accordingly. That is a wise person. We open ourselves. It's that openness to go wherever is a better direction than where we're at. Proverbs 9, verse 8 and 9 say, "Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And then I found an interesting verse in Psalm 141, verse 5. Psalm 141, verse 5 says, this is the words of King David. He said, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head." And you think about what King David went through before he penned these words. Think of what he felt when the prophet came to him with rebuke and opened his eyes to what he had done and where he was actually at. And just think of the emotions that King David would have had to go through to accept that. And what he did is he changed that. He accepted it. And it brought repentance in his life, and he changed his life. And although he had to suffer the consequences of those decisions, he received much blessing in his life because of how he handled that. He was thankful to hear it as hard as it was. He was thankful for it as hard as it was to hear. That's a wise man. It takes a man of great character to see through our own small perspective and to see the bigger picture and accept chastening like that. James 3, verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good heart, out of a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom. True wisdom is knowledge in shoe leather. It's practical and exemplary. It's teachable and always willing to learn new ways and change up if necessary." That is true wisdom. And then we have the story in Luke chapter 6. We can turn there. The familiar story that Christ lays out here. Luke chapter 6, we'll read verse 47 and 48. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Christ paints a picture here. He puts it in our minds, and we've seen in lots of Bible stories the house on the rock and how stable that looks. And it's because of the hard work that was done. It was because of the hard things that they went through to build that house that gave it its stability. A quote I heard recently: "Progress is impossible without change. Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. Excuse me. Now we'll look a bit at the foolish person. And this is also what I found. It says, don't be fooled. They may be the smartest person you know. Just because they're smart doesn't mean they're wise. Just because they're witty and smart and have all the answers doesn't mean they're wise. Typically, a foolish person, when light comes to them, they adjust the light instead of adjusting themselves. They adjust the light. They put on their shades. They deflect it. They pull their hat down. Whatever they can do to not hold themselves up to the light. When truth comes, they try to change it. They try to excuse it. They try to minimize it. Or they shoot the messenger. Or try to make it his problem. That is a very typical response of a foolish person. And I can relate to it because I've participated in it. At any rate, they're not happy to hear reproof, and they often become angry. They refuse to see or take ownership of their problem. There cannot be growth there. There cannot be freedom there. There's no happiness there. They're caught in a rut, and they can't get out. Proverbs 9, verse 7 and 8. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Proverbs 10, 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And then back over to Luke 6. Verse 46 and verse 49. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say, which I say? But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which a stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We see the foundation there. We see the similarities there. And Christ, in his short little way of saying it, just paints a clear picture of it. The foundation is earth. It erodes away. It is not stable. And what I thought about with this is when everything is going good, when everything is fine, when there is no storms, those two houses, they look fine. And they look like they could look this exactly the same. And they can look that way as long as everything stays good. As soon as there's a problem, the one disintegrates. And it's just a lesson to us, to myself, that what is my foundation? Is that how I react? Is that when hard things come, do I get my back up? Do I react in a way that's hurts other people or whatever? Does my little house crumble? What does my foundation look like? Hard things in life are the defining factor in our character. And it's not in the easy times. Easy times, we tend to fall asleep, we tend to become lax, and the hard times are the most valuable. We can have wisdom, we can have knowledge without wisdom, but we cannot have wisdom without knowledge. True wisdom is a choice, and although easy to understand, can be difficult to live out, because wisdom from above and wisdom from below are in opposition to each other. Every day we make choices, and when we read it in the Bible, so often it makes sense. We can read through Christ's teachings here and read through Matthew 18 and the Beatitudes and all that stuff, and it all makes sense and it all looks great. But when it comes down to the actual act of having to live that out, it's a different story. And that's because there's this, the pull two different ways here. We have the flesh and we have the spirit that is warring against ourselves, and it is in direct opposition to the philosophy of the day. And we'll see that as we go on. Excuse me. The pool of wisdom and knowledge that we have to draw from is infinite. There is enough there for every person in every situation. For that, I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, 33 to 36. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." That was Paul's response. There is no possible way we can deplete the pool of wisdom and knowledge that are out there for us. And it's up to us whether we want to tap into it and ask for it. We're in a difficult situation, or revert back to the worldly wisdom and go that way. Wisdom from above requires absolute honesty, humility, and resolve. Without those ingredients, we don't carry through. We revert back. And I'd like to read a few verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Familiar verses, but these are some of my favorite verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now I'd like to go back over to James, chapter 3. We're given a wisdom light to hold our lives up to. And it's one thing that the Bible is full of, is direction for us, and sometimes we have to look for it, but this is really clear. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we have this wisdom that is from above that we can hold our lives up to. And I'd like to just look at those words that he uses here. The wisdom from above that is first pure, has the thought of innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, peaceable, speaks of quietness, set at one again, courteous, considerate, gentle, appropriate, mild, moderate, and patient, easy to be entreated, easily asked, easily approachable, not stubborn or sour. In the Amplified Version, it said reasonable, willing to listen, full of mercy and good fruits. Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are all things that we can hold our actions up against and see how we're doing. Without partiality, we're fair, not biased or skewed. We recognize the truth regardless of its source and open ourselves to it. That is wisdom from above. Without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. Wisdom from above. With wisdom from above, there's no virtue signaling, pretending, feigning. Pretending we're something else when we're not. Wisdom from above is opposite, is unfeigned, undisguised, and sincere. So I'd like to challenge us as we look back on our lives and we look forward on the future. We don't know what lies ahead. We know there's going to be probably some good times and there's going to be some difficult times, for sure. We can plan ahead with the resolve to live by what he says here. And as we hold our lives up to that light, we can do it. We don't have to wait for a year. We can do it every day. We can do it every moment. You know, when something comes up, did I handle that right? Was my spirit right? Was I hypocritical in what I said? Am I not, you know, there's all that things we can hold our lives up to and get a clear picture. We can come up with an action plan to change things that are lacking. I know for myself, there's lots of things to work on. Some things we need to hold up. How about our relationships? Our family relationships, our church relationships, our business relationships. Whatever you come into, how are they? You hold them up to all these, and do they all match up? Are they pure, peaceable, gentle? The whole list. How about our thought patterns? Turn to Philippians 4. Familiar verses again, Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Excuse me. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's a challenge. How's our communication? What's it like? Are we following this pattern here? Our motives for our actions, are they pure, peaceable, gentle? Our devices, our phones and computers, how are they? Do we claim one thing and look like another? Just some challenges I'd like to leave with us. I'd like to look at a verse in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 15. This is an end time promise from Christ. It says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." He promises to give us true wisdom if we ask for it. And then I'd like to look at a couple of verses in Isaiah 33 in closing. Isaiah 33, verse 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of thy salvation. And strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. I think we can take that as a challenge and as a promise for ourselves today in 2025. Let's look to God for our wisdom and our guidance through the good times and the difficult times. And I pray that each of us will open our hearts to the wisdom that is from above. May God bless.